Very happy to have you back, Dr. Musio Chen. He's no stranger to some of us, most of us. But those of you who are new here, he was an engineer before by training. He and his wife has lived in California for many years. And from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, both were missionaries, teaching and preaching in Southeast Asia. Today, he will bring to us the topic for today's message: Does God have a son? From Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 23.
Good morning, everybody. I'm so happy and privileged today to share a Christmas message with all of you. It's a big family here. Praise the Lord. Now, if you have your Bible or your phone, let's go to Matthew chapter 1. We shall read together from 18 to 23, those verses. Matthew 1, 18 to 23. And I'm using ESV. You can use any versions, but ESV is what I use. Okay, send me already. Let's all read together, okay? God's word. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But he considered these things. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All these took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Wow, you know, this is a precious message, right? Now we understand in few verses the reaction of Joseph and Mary to the son coming to their family. I think 2 weeks ago, the Jewish Joseph, what's his name? Jacob, yes. Jacob Presch, right? Yeah, he was here and I was sitting. You know, interestingly, he said there was a story that two robots talking to each other, right? Do you remember that? Right? And they talked something the engineers couldn't understand, so they were so scared they turned them off. So I went home. I was thinking, maybe they talk to each other, like, you know, "Hey, have you heard Jesus? I heard that he was the son of God." You know, it's just a story, right? Many years ago, when I was in the late 20s, I was running a business, a factory, a small factory in Singapore. And I was overconfident as a young man, young engineer. But under capital, underestimate the difficulties running a business in a recession. So I had to run to different banks to make friends, to kind of borrow money, right? to keep the factory afloat. And so I met a few bankers. We made friends. Then I learned a joke, a story from these bankers. The story was this. There were three bankers having a lunch. One American, one English, and one Chinese, right? The American say, you know, when we lend money, we look at the balance sheets, and we look particularly for the cash flow, right? How much cash you can turn. The Englishman say, no, 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 we don't care about cash flow. We look at the balance sheets, we look at assets, right? Whether this company has got property, got equipment, right? In case they don't pay us, we can go and seize their properties as security. So they turn to the Chinese banker. What do you do? The Chinese say, well, it's too complicated. We just ask one question to the borrower. Who is your father? It makes a lot of sense. I hope Pharisees could have been there and listen to this conversation and ponder about this question that they could never figure out in their lifetime. Who is this man and his father relationship, you know? Okay, let's bow head. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your many blessings in our lives. And we are grateful for the fact that we can be here today together to worship you in health and in freedom. We're thankful that you call us your children, and we rejoice as a body to celebrate Christmas together. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Recently, we moved to a small apartment in northern part of Taiwan. And we are very thankful that although the spot apartment was kind of smaller than the previous one, but we were able to see the river. You know, if you've been to Taiwan, Dansui River, Dansui He, right? In the northern part of Taiwan. And from the, we were on the higher floor, we could see the river, right? The mouth of the river leading to the ocean. And we were new there. We didn't know anybody. But in the previous place, in the south part of Taipei City, New Taipei City, we were there about nearly 4 years. We were able to minister to a lot of people, particularly the security guards. Every time we go in and out, they were there to greet us. So we make friends with them and share the gospel, give them tracts to read, you know. And in this place, we are new and yet we have to make friends. You know, we love to share the story of Jesus, introduce people to Jesus wherever we go in Taiwan. We keep this in our heart. Every day, we must share the gospel, even a short one. You know, you don't have to have a long conversation. You may not have the privilege to have a long conversation, a short one, a blessing to the people that you meet. And before we left, I talked to my wife. I said, you know, we'll be gone for maybe 2+ months in Singapore. And this house, we need some cleaning. So we engaged a maid to come in, right? And she did a good job cleaning up the place. And at the end of it, we said, I said, do you know how to pray to God? She said, oh, I don't know. I said, you want me to teach you? Oh, yes, thank you. You know, that was a good start. So I went through the plan of salvation with her. And she admitted readily that she has sins. Wow. You know, that's very encouraging, right? Someone tell you, a new person, she has sins. All I know is her story. She has sick. No, she is, I think, maybe early 50s, you know. From my perspective, she's young, right? She has 6 accidents. Now, if you guys want to travel to Taiwan for holidays, be very, very careful on the road. It's nothing like here, right? She has 6 accidents. And 3 of them caused her to be hospitalized. Can you imagine? But I say, you know, hey, God has protected you, even though you have six accidents, traffic accidents. I say, you still have your four limbs. You can walk, right? You have two hands. I see you work diligently cleaning up the house. I say, you didn't have a broken arm, a broken leg. Six accidents, three hospitalizations. God had protected you. And she was, really? God did? I said, yeah, you didn't know him, but he knows you. Oh, I said, you want to learn to pray? So I said, okay, good. The best prayer in the Bible, the Lord's Prayer. Now, beforehand, I made a copy from my Bible, you know, in Chinese. So I taught her the meaning of the Lord's Prayer. And she accepted Jesus Christ on that very day. Less than, I don't know, 15 minutes or 20 minutes of conversation. Praise the Lord. And she left, right? We pay her, she left. And a few hours later, received a text. I want to translate that text. It's from Mandarin. She says, thank you, Pastor Chen, for teaching me how to pray. I will put in my best efforts to read the Lord's Prayer. May the Lord protect you going to preach the gospel in Singapore. Wishing you peace and joy. Thank you again. Now, this person didn't have much education, right? A simple person wrote to me like this. I was so, I don't know how to describe my feeling when I saw that. And I just thank God. God touched her. You know, you can be an instrument of blessing to give to whoever you encounter. And frankly, not often I get a message like that. Well, the scriptures we read are pretty lengthy, but it's always a blessing to read God's word, not just for knowledge and the information. It is to embrace Jesus when you read the scripture. Why? Because Jesus is the Son of God, is the Word of God. So when you read the scripture, you are really, you know, you read the scripture with heart and you are really embracing Jesus. Okay? With that in mind, next time when you read Jesus, I'm going to embrace you reading your word. We read from the text. Who came? Jesus came. His name was announced by the angel. Jesus was conceived not like any human being, but by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he had no sins. And he did not receive Mary's blood. Interesting. This is something I just learned recently. The purpose of his coming to this world was to save his people from sins, as God had planned long time ago, right from Genesis chapter 1. Gospel of Mark recorded in chapter 2, verse 7, what the scribes and the lawyers asked, who can forgive sins but God? They questioned Jesus says authority to forgive sins. They knew well from all the history and teaching, and apart from God, no one could forgive sins. Only Jesus could. And I encourage all of us to be sensitive and seize the moment. 2 Sundays ago, few of us from the church, including our Jewish speaker, Jacob, at lunching at a club, I noticed a young, petite Indian lady, waitress, busily serving tables. Toward the end of a meal, as the desserts were brought in, I spoke softly to her in an effort not to put her on the spot, thanking her for the diligence and excellent service. She was polite and gracious. I said, in return for her good service, I wanted to share with her a good news. I pointed to the decorations on the wall and asked, "Do you know it is Christmas?" An obvious statement that brought her to the neutral ground. I asked her whether she knows why Jesus came. And all this conversation was being low volume right now, not like now, it's very soft, because there were other people eating around us. She was listening, and I continued. God sent his son to forgive sins. I then identified myself as a missionary from America. She raised her head and looked at me, waiting for the rest of the story. I say, "In Singapore, I heard you have Good Friday as a public holiday, right?" She said, "Yes." Without answer, she was in the conversation, no longer a monologue. I kept my volume low, not to draw any unwanted attention, least from her supervisors, you know. And I explained the meaning of Good Friday and Easter, what Jesus said after his resurrection, that those who believed in him will likewise rise again, meaning eternal life. I noticed this Pastor John wearing a smile, sitting next to me. I know he was in silent prayer for our conversation. She noted when I said the sinner could not go to heaven even if you had one sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all sins. And she noted, in agreement, we really need to depend on him and follow him, I said. What surprised me the next? And she stretched out her hand. Well, not to wake me. I wasn't prepared, you know, to have my hand shook by Indian woman, first time in my life. So she thanked me and shook my hand. You know, the amazement was that God opened the door of opportunity right in the restaurant. And I was so blessed to walk through it. For the rest of the day, I was on cloud nine, if you know what I mean, pondering over God's love and mercy. Oh boy, it doesn't happen like this every day. God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16, we know so well. Let's share with your people you care, you love. Rejoice. Those of us who sit here, believe in Jesus, you know, our sins are forgiven. At the end of every 4 years, when the President of the United States, before he stepped out of the White House, he will give a list. Those names on the list, forgiven. Huh? Wonderful. If you see their faces, recently I saw a smiling face. Oh, this woman was sentenced in Indonesia for smuggling drugs. And she said she was innocent, but the government didn't believe her, put her in jail, in death sentence. Really a single woman, right? The governments of Indonesia and the Philippines, they negotiated, I don't know, 6 years or something like that. And just before the time came to have execution to take place, suddenly the Indonesian government say, "Release her. She's no more to be charged." And I saw a picture. She was embracing her family with a smile that you cannot imagine, because she was forgiven from sins in this world. Hey, friends, Our sins are forgiven forever, and no one can charge us. Think about that. Often, we are free because we are forgiven. Praise the Lord. We send Emmanuel, God with us, from the young age. We're young. I sang a song. I always sing it. These hymns. God with us. We know since the ascension of Jesus that God is in us. Remember that, right? Before Jesus came, right? God with us. Now, God is in us in the person of what? Holy Spirit. And he will never depart from us. He stays in us forever, as long as we're in this world. We read Jesus is the Son of God, not any gods that millions in the world worship, but the Most High God. With the celebration of Christmas, we ought to make a fresh resolve to let the whole world, your world, mine, know that Jesus was born, Son of God was born. And that's not the end of it. And he is coming again very soon. According to the latest Wikipedia I searched, there are 8.1 billion people on Earth and 2.9 billion have heard of Jesus. Well, how many are known by Jesus is a different matter. A lot of people say, oh, you know, I know Jesus. But Jesus might say, I don't know. I don't know you. That was in the Bible, right? Well, that is to say, out of 10 people you know on earth, you may only see one in heaven. Make a commitment to Jesus today. It's a good day, Christmas Day. As this year ending, that you will refocus your life journey. Wherever you are, introduce someone to Jesus Christ at every given opportunity. Remember, that opportunity is given by God. He creates things. He creates the opportunity. Recognize the opportunity. There's no higher calling on earth. I've been around a long time. All right? I started 4 factories, 3 in Singapore, 1 in America. I've gone through different lessons in life. But I recall, sometimes sit there and recall, God gave me lots of opportunities. He saved me from many disasters. God was helping me through these years of business. God is helping you, saving you from difficulties and major problems in life. God has been working in your lives. So in return, we should share that blessing to the people around you. And don't be afraid. Don't be timid. Jesus is with you. You are not alone. You'll be amazed to see the outcome. And your joy in that will be full. John 15, 11. There may be sacrifices involved when you proclaim the gospel. You may see resistance, inconveniences, efforts, a lot of efforts on your part. You know, it may cost you your mighty dollars. But the reward you shall receive in heaven is immeasurable. All deposited in BNJ, not Bank of America, But BNJ, Bank of New Jerusalem in heaven. And they will not be stolen. You don't need to have a password. No one can break in. Who on earth knew the coming of Jesus in those days? Mary and Joseph certainly did, because they were prepared by the angels. Dr. Luke wrote in Luke chapter 2 that the angel announced to the humble shepherds in the fields, we read about Anna, 84 years old, widow for many years. She was a prophetess, faithfully ministering and waiting at the temple for Messiah for about 60 years, I counted. A righteous and devout man, Simeon, led by the Holy Spirit, recognized the infant Jesus as a savior. You know, think about it for a moment, right? This old man in the temple, you know, last night we were in Orchard Road admiring the lights. You know, the people were all like fishes, you know. Now, Simeon in the temple, right, on festival days, there could be a lot of people coming in and going out. Old man, right, he's sitting there. Been many years, he saw many faces unknown to him, in and out. How in the world he could recognize the infant Jesus as a coming savior? How is it possible? Not possible, humanly speaking. The best CIA man cannot detect that. But he could. Why was he able to do that? If you read the Holy Scripture, in two verses, the name of Holy Spirit mentioned three times. If we want to serve God, if we want to live a good Christian life, to bear fruits, we need the Holy Spirit to move us, to guide us, to enable us, manage, push us. Things that you will not expect happening will happen. Because why? The Holy Spirit orchestrates everything. You know, everything in your life. What happened before? What happened now? What will happen in the future? God arranged that. Hey, they don't come by accidents. No accident in Christian's life. Everything is orchestrated by God, by the Holy Spirit. So if you have no opportunities, you want to bear fruits, pay attention. The Holy Spirit is doing that for you and with you. You know, even demons, surprisingly, recognize Jesus. What kind of testimony that you need that the Son of God, Jesus? Wow, it was recorded in Matthew 8:28. Demons saw Jesus coming towards them. Oh, they cried out, Son of God, did you come to torment us? Demons knew. Demons could recognize Jesus. What kind of proof the world needs? The devils know. And they say they don't know. I think they pretend they don't know. Most significantly, you know, this statement here I want to make is not only my experience, not only I want to share with you, it is instructional, intentionally, okay? I enjoy preaching as well as teaching. In Matthew chapter 3, 13 to 17, when Jesus came out of the water from baptism at the Jordan River, a voice from heaven declared, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God spoke. Many statements pertaining Jesus to the Son of God were from the reports of the disciples and the eyewitnesses. And this was directly from God, this voice. You know, and this verse was the very one I shared with some Muslim dignitaries at the hotel, a very nice hotel in KL. We stayed while en route to Europe. It all started when one of them asked me earlier who Jesus really was. You know, I think millions of people have this question in their mind. who this Jesus was. I don't remember what conversations we had earlier and led this man to ask me that all-important question. What do you think this world will be like if many come to accept, to recognize, to know Jesus, the Son of God? Of course, the book of Revelation tells us what will happen when Jesus does return. We know he's coming back, right? We cannot just sit and wait for that to happen. On that day in the hotel, that was the very verse God spoke from heaven and shared with these Muslim leaders. They were higher people from another country. One of them was a minister. What will you say today if someone you bump to asks you this question? You only have a few seconds to answer. You know, when you go like this, a short few seconds, not all you have. What will you say? Who Jesus was? Well, Jacob, in his recent message recently, repeatedly, if you remember, if you are here 2 Sundays ago, emphasize that will not be much difference in terms of readiness to welcome the second coming of Jesus as of the first. If you remember, he said that, I don't know, 3 times. You know, people were not ready for his second coming, just as people not ready for his first coming. Well, 2,000 years have passed, and that's a troubling prospect because the king is coming soon. And many are still asleep in the church. Well, his first visit was to present the gospel and offer himself up on the cross for all. And this time, the Son of God comes to judge. Well, make very sure that you are ready to receive the coming King. Not to be punished, but to receive rewards. Well, God doesn't punish his own, so we will be punished, not to be scared, but to receive rewards. Dr. Paul Lee Dunn, some of you might remember, only the older ones here will. No, this he wrote a book, Jesus Coming Again, 40 years ago. Well, I took out this book, reread it, because I saw the wars going on in Middle East. Right? And it's scary. And the wars are not ending. They're getting worse by the day. Well, Dr. Paul Lee Dunn wrote, I want to quote, out of 30 verses in the New Testament, and one out of every 18 in the Old Testament pointed to this coming event. Right? He wrote this book 40 years ago. And he said there will be a lot of wars, and there will be two nuclear wars, too. And recently, I think we all see the news that Russia threatened several times, even Putin himself, plus the foreign minister, they threatened to use nuclear weapons. Recently, NATO urged the European unions to prepare for the World War III. After that, the European Military Committee discussed. You know what they said they want to do? They want to preemptive strike against Russia. My goodness, they want to attack the polar bear first. It's beyond my understanding and comprehension. Can you imagine? Go to a tent, polar bear. And then all these things going on is getting worse and worse. And we don't know the ending. When the ending will come, we don't know. God is in control. But with a new president in the United States, things might change. We don't know. I think without God, all right, this is my own personal conviction. Without God, there was no chance for Trump to win the election. You know, think about this. I'm American. I watch the news very frequently. Out of seven swing states, you know, all the news, major news media, all, except maybe one. They say we've done the polls, you know, Trump will lose badly, right? And swing states, no chance. Because swing states are people there, they couldn't decide. But the previous election, Trump lost in these seven, out of these seven states. This time he won. All those seven states, amazing. So you think it was his personal charm? No, I don't think so. He doesn't look charming to me. But, you know, I think this is a divine appointment. I think God may want to use him in a big way to avert a serious war to happen. Because you know why God is patient? God wants to have more people to hear the gospel. God wants to give us, the church, time and opportunity to go out there to share the gospel with your neighbors, with your friends, with your family. Hey, they need your voice. Well, do you think Asia, Singapore, can be spared if any of such major geographical conflict event occur? God has given much talents. You know, I know some of you personally. And opportunities. We all need to tell them, tell others about the good news and the glorify God. Regardless of your circumstances, the thing that everyone at this season of universal celebration should do is to tell someone you care about the meaning of Christmas, sharing the good news about Christmas. The Son of God came and is coming again. And Jesus told his disciples in John 4:35, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes, and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." What are you looking at in life? Lift up your eyes. Jesus would have said it to you, to us, to me today. Lift up your eyes. Does God have a son? A unique son and beloved son? Yes, indeed, God does. And his name is Jesus. God wants us to experience and be an instrument of his peace and love. To forgive as we are forgiven. To love as we are loved. To be a friend, a light to the darkness. Help guiding the lost to our God, Shepherd. Above all, to grow to become like his son, Jesus, our ultimate blessing. Emmanuel, God is with us. Merry Christmas, everybody here. God bless you.